Isn't it difficult to worship God when you're tormented in your mind? Who is that? You don't have to have that. Jesus came. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He doesn't want you to have it. And it has to leave. It's the spirit of witchcraft. We've got to be careful we don't open doors. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every evil spirit that's been tormenting your mind to stop. We break its assignment right now. We command it to stop in the name of Jesus. Every evil spirit, we command it to leave, or we break its hold. There it is. Father, we just thank you for touching her now. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command it to leave her right now. The spirit of witchcraft, we break its hold. We break its assignment. Right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for working in her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break this assignment off of her mind, off of her emotions. We command it to stop. We command all of it to stop right now. We command her mind to be normal, emotions, everything to be at peace and rest. In Jesus' name. We just thank you for touching her now in Jesus' name. Michelle, I want you to leave this in the recording. God showed me something during worship. You know, isn't it interesting that you listen to us online and you hate us so much? You trying to curse this church and curse the people that go to it. But let me tell you something. God showed me who you are. And He loves you. And you don't have to be bound by Him and be used as His puppet to try to destroy people's lives and your hatred. There's a God that loves you. And His Son's name is Jesus. He can set you free, because I know that you yourself are tormented in your mind and you're not free. Therefore, you try to torment other people and control them. You don't have to do this. God will forgive you. You can open up in your Bibles to Isaiah. Why don't we go over to Ezekiel chapter 9. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, the spirit of witchcraft and cursing and so on and so forth is kind of meaningless. It's just directing the devils that already want to go after you anyways. You know, Peter said about the devil, he said, "Be self-controlled and alert your enemy. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." You got to be devourable in order to be devoured. That's why he said in the next verse, 1 Peter 5:9, he said to resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers and sisters around the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. A lot of times we think we're the only one. Peter said, no, they're all going through it. And he also said in 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, not to think it strange if the fiery trial you're enduring is though something strange were happening to you. He said, but rejoice, you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. He said, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. He said, however, if you suffered as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. He said, it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the family of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So suffering is not something that should be amazing to you, but somehow those thoughts always come, what? Why? Right? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? And the devil likes to convince you when you didn't do something that it was something you did do. And he tries to, when you did do something you shouldn't have done that opened up the door, he convinces you the same thing, so it keeps you in confusion constantly. You're just always trying to analyze and try to navigate and figure out what it is that caused this terrible thing to happen. But most of the time, I can tell you who it is. His name starts with a D and it ends with an L. Do you know who he is? The devil. It's the devil. It's him. And he likes to blame you and calls him the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. He's the accuser of the brethren. It says, but we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So it's good to plead the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. A lot of people don't even realize what we're doing, but I'm telling you that it works. Amen. You're pleading the blood. You're activating your faith and directing it towards whatever area it is of your life, covering it in the mighty blood of Jesus. It's the blood that saved you, and it's the blood that will bring you peace when you're tormented. You need to plead the blood of Jesus. If there's anything demonic spirits fear, it's the blood of Jesus. They are afraid of the blood of Jesus. Because if the blood of Jesus is mentioned, it absolutely reminds them instantly of their demise that is soon to come. It reminds them that Jesus defeated them at the cross. In Colossians 2:15, it says, and having spoiled principalities or destroyed them, spoiled principalities and powers. He said he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross. So the cross was a place of, it looked like a place of defeat in Satan's eyes. He thought he had Jesus. He thought he had him when he was in hell. You know, but after 3 days, a light shone in hell. And Jesus jumped up and he came and he went to Abraham's bosom and took all the captives, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, into heaven with him. He was not defeated. It was a place of victory. You see? And that's our place of victory, is the cross. But also the resurrection. We don't want to stay at the cross. A lot of people like to worship the cross, but they forget about Jesus. Did you ever notice that? They talk about the cross, the cross, the cross, but they never talk about the person who was up there on that cross. You see? So we got to keep our faith in Jesus. He says to fix our eyes not on the cross. He says to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, is what the Bible says. See, we know Jesus was on the cross. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to God is good, amen? Hallelujah. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross. And now you have his name. He said to protect them by the name you've given me. He said they can be one even as we are one, he said in John chapter 17. That name is your source of protection because it represents the finished work at the cross. It represents the fact that Jesus defeated Satan and he will have authority through that name over all of the kingdom of darkness. Amen. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He also calls it the kingdom of light in the book of Colossians. Now that we're children of light, he told us we're supposed to live as children of light. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He told us to find out what pleases the Lord. He said it's have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. He said it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So we're supposed to be obedient then, apparently, right? You better believe it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to obey God. He said, but this is the love of God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous. 1 John 5:3. He also said, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. He said, his command is that you walk in love in 2 John 6. We're going to be talking about love as soon as we get done with this exhortation. I'm just trying to follow what he wants to say right now. So we need to be separate from the world. If we will separate from the world and not compromise because of our spouse or because of our roommates or because of whoever we live with and watch TV shows and stuff that they try to force us to watch and listen to the things they want us to listen to, if we will not compromise, we can keep the door shut on the devil. You know, one day, this is a while back, and I made mention of it because it was for people that weren't in the room, but I'll make mention of it again. I seen a black figure, and I knew it was the devil, and it was just darkness. And I said to him, I said, how did you get in here? And he looked at me and said, you left the door open. Isn't that a fact? He had a right to be in. Why? Because the door was open. The door was open. We got to make sure, he said, not to give the devil a foothold. The devil gets his foot in the door, he's going to jump right on through. See? He tries to stop you from closing the door by getting you out of faith. But he said we're supposed to take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Ephesians 6:16, amen? Take up the shield of faith. He said, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. If we will make sure we stay in an attitude of faith and resist the devil, and when he says, I'm not going to go, you're going to stay tormented in your mind. You say, no, I'm not. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And he said, this mental torment is a result of the curse. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from rapid mental torment in my mind. It's got to stop right now. It has to stop right now. He says, no, it's not going to stop. 5 minutes later, he comes back and says, I resist it. I'm not going to take this. I don't have to have it. You have to be very aggressive. Why? Because Satan, your enemy, is very aggressive. Very aggressive. He says he seeks whom he can devour. He's got different tactics. He says, we wrestle not against principalities, powers. We wrestle against, he said. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm mixing scriptures together. That's Ephesians 6:12. So we're wrestling against them. He said the weapons of our warfare. So we're wrestling. We're in a war. Wrestling, we're in a war. Ephesians 6:12 says we're wrestling. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says we're in a war. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That word, every thought, in your Bible should be underlined. That's every thought. You mean I got to cast on every thought? Yes, this is going to take some discipline till we develop ourselves to that area. But you're going to have to take a season where you're going to have to train yourself to cast on every single thought. And even after that, you got to do constant maintenance. It's like cutting the lawn. It keeps trying to grow back. You see? But what we can do, he says we can cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself. Thoughts, what is he talking about? He's showing you a progression. A stronghold is how he begins. A stronghold is a prison. It's a prison in your mind. It's when your thoughts become so founded on something that's not truth, which is something that's not of God, not God's word, that it becomes a prison. You're imprisoned in your mind. You just cannot get free. That's a stronghold. The next part of the, we're going to go backwards. Let's start back at the thoughts here. It says casting down every thought, every thought. If we don't cast down every thought, the next thing that happens, it becomes a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is that? Well, you could think of it like this. On the throne of your heart, if you will imagine this, if there's a throne on your heart, the only thing that should be seated on that throne is Jesus, who is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He calls Him the Logos. He calls Him the mighty Word of God in 1 John chapter 1 multiple times. He calls Him the Word of God in John 1:1-4. He calls Him the Word of God. So if we don't cast down every thought, it's going to become a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, this thing's going to get stronger, and what it's trying to do is unseat the knowledge of God's Word that is in your heart. It's trying to elbow, get on here, I'm going to sit on this throne. But if we'll start resisting it right there, before it gets too strong, we can say, no, get off the throne, Jesus is on, the Word is on the throne, the Word is going to sit right here. You're not getting on this throne. And He'll fight you. Because he wants a position of authority. If you don't start dealing with it when it becomes stronger, and at this point he's trying to take your salvation away, we know that he wants to take our salvation. He wants to take you to hell is what he wants to do with Christians because he hates them. But salvation also means deliverance, preservation, provision. It's all in company. It's an all-inclusive word. If you look it up in the Greek, it's all in there. So he wants to stop you from having the financial prosperity God wants you to have. He wants to stop you from having the healing that you need in your body. He wants to stop you from having a successful marriage with your spouse. He wants to stop you from being able to have a successful relationship with your children. He wants to stop you from having success in your business endeavors, in your schooling, whatever it is that God's called you to do. He wants to stop you from doing all those things. You see? And as long as he can unseat the throne of God's Word from your heart, then he can stop you. But if he can't, the parable of the sower makes it very clear that if God's Word, if we keep the Word in there, it will produce a crop. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel of the ear. He says in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, he says in due time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. He says not to grow weary in well-doing. So it's our job to keep the seed, which according to Luke 8, 11 is the word of God. He calls it imperishable seed in 1 Peter 1, 23. It's our job to keep the seed in the soil in our heart and not let Satan uproot it and replant himself there. You remember there's tares that were sown along the wheat? Satan wants to uproot the wheat. Then we know the wheat is the word of God. He wants to uproot it and put some poison in there. See, some weeds, some thorn seeds. So we need to deal with our thoughts so that they don't become a high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. That's above God's word. And if we don't deal with it, we become lazy in our thought management. We're not aggressive in our thought management. And you know the Bible says to guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. In fact, it says guard your heart with all diligence, it says. So we need to diligently, that means every effort, we need to be careful what we're allowing in our heart and what we're allowing ourselves to think on. He said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So he tells us to think about it. He says we're supposed to think about that. And he says to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. We're supposed to be thinking about Jesus, right? And we'll just keep our eyes on Jesus, which is the Word of God, like he told us to meditate God's Word day and night. Then we can make sure that we don't have any prisons in our mind. But if we're not taking inventory of every thought, if we're not taking care of our thought life like we should be and managing things properly, then the end result is it's going to progressively get worse. Thoughts, high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then he says casting down imaginations, which is the third step in the progression, is imaginations, which are now a system of thoughts, or rapid thoughts, you could say, that are now even empowered by emotionalism. Empowered by emotionalism. That's where your emotions get involved, and it becomes very, very difficult at this point to get free. Satan will accommodate you with feelings and emotions of pleasure, if that's the type of sin he's trying to get you into. And he will try to forcefully enforce the fact of why you have to have these thoughts. And if we don't start breaking down, I'll tell you exactly how we can break it all down again. If we don't start there, it's going to become the stronghold that he began with in that scripture, which is a prison where you may not even want to get free from. Don't believe me? Go over to the Islamic community and you can present Jesus to them and they won't even want Jesus because they don't want to be free and they don't even know that they're bound. Think about that. They don't even know that they're bound. You see? Hallelujah. If you have your phone, I want you to record. They don't even know that they're bound. So, Pastor Nan, what can I do? I feel like I'm caught up in this thing. It doesn't matter. I've tried rebuking. I've tried pleading the blood of Jesus. I've tried shouting at the devil for 15 minutes. And, you know, I've tried reading my Bible and praise and worship, but it just keeps coming back. Well, I have a few questions for you. Okay. One of them is, are you separate from the world? Every time you watch a secular television show and there's any kind of sin involved that you're watching, you're not guarding your heart, you're opening yourself up to the curse every single time. You're pumping that into your spirit. If that's the first step. If we won't separate from the world, you might as well just forget about getting free because you're going to keep getting bound over and over and over again. Well, I want to be free. Well, Jesus wants you free too. But the first step to freedom is obedience to His Word. He says not to yoke yourself together with unbelievers. He says do not yoke yourself together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? He said what harmony is there between Christ and the devil, Belial? He said, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? said, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? He said, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. He says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Separate from what? The unbeliever. He made it very clear how God views it. It's light and darkness. There's no middle ground with God. We got to be all in it. That's sanctification. The word sanctification means separation. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They left everything of the world. He said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He said, anyone who comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, children, everything, does it. He says, if they don't do that, they cannot be my disciple. And we know Jesus doesn't want us to hate things, but he's trying to make a point. That word hate is describing with the same tenacity in comparison to the things of this world and your own family. He said, if you were to compare your love towards God, towards Jesus, the only one who can save you, compared to your love towards them on a scale, it would come up as hatred. That's how much you're supposed to love Jesus. That's why he's using that comparative word to make a point, very strong point. So we've got to be separate. A lot of people are deceived. Listen very carefully. They're deceived into thinking they're getting away with it. But if you're one that's having problems in your thoughts and you're still not listening to the advice of God's word and the advice of the pastor, then I can guarantee you that your thought problem is proving that you're not getting away with anything. Amen. That's why we've got to be very careful. Just shut the TV off. I can't shut off. Throw it away. I paid $1,000 for it. Well, you'd like to be tormented in your mind? I don't like to be tormented in my mind. Amen. That's my first question. Are you separate from the world? Okay. If you are separate from the world, and you know that you're not doing it in secular music, all that stuff, you're not subjecting yourself to the things of this world. He said it, friends of this world, adultery towards God, James called it. God went into very, very graphic detail of how he views it when people, when they dabble around at the things of the world. Very graphic detail in the Old Testament with the prophets. Yeah, in fact, he had one of the prophets marry a prostitute to make a point. To show just how how God feels about it when he can't keep his wife, Israel, or God's people in love with him. You see? So if you are separate from the world and you're tormented in thoughts, well, then there's a few other things that could be the problem. One of them is, are you managing your thoughts? That would be the second thing. Are you managing your thoughts? Because if you're letting your mind, Satan, you got to understand Satan's subtlety. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, I fear lust by any means as a certain Satan. See if we can say this. As a serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety. That means it's very, very difficult to detect by the untrained eye. Now what we're training you for is so that your eye can be trained to see these things. You can discern these things, the tactics of Satan, if you're willing to hear it. Now, if you don't believe that what I'm telling you is true, or if you take it lightly, then you're not going to be trained to become the fine-tuned precision physician of your own thoughts, if you'll allow me to say it that way. We need to become very, 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 very in tune with who it is that's giving us those thoughts. Because if they're not from God, then where are they coming from? They're me. Are they you? Because if you're one with God, Jesus said that he was one with the Father, we're going to be one with him, then your thoughts should all be from God, because the Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, old things are gone, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So who are you? You're Christ. I'm Jesus? No, but you're in him, and you're one with him in unity. He says, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It says in Galatians 3:29. He says this, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Galatians 3:26. And he said this, he said, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He said, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're in Him, in union with, not bodily entrance into. We don't live in a big Jesus, all of us. Jesus has His own body, you know that? Jesus has His own body. It's a glorified body, just like you're going to get. He says, when we see Him, we shall see Him. We shall be as He is, it says in 1 John 3:1-4. But we are in union with Him. And spiritually, from a position, spiritually, you're in Christ. He says it over and over, in Christ. If you go through the book of Ephesians, He says it over and over, in Christ, in Christ. If you're living a holy life, you're living for God like you're supposed to be in order to be saved, then if a devil were to walk in the room and look at you, he would see Jesus. He does not see you anymore. Because He says we're hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God. And if we're in God, that means that the devil sees Jesus. He sees God. Do you believe me? I just gave you a bunch of scriptures. See, we're in Christ. We're in Him. It says, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. New creation, new creature. Hallelujah, Jesus. He takes my mind away from me. He wants me to give this tongue, so we're going to give it. He said, it's through constant preparation and meditation of my word that you prepare your minds for action and prepare your minds for the battle within. For the enemy has many tactics and he comes to try to unseat my word off the throne of your hearts. So be willing and obedient and you will eat the good of the land, for the harvest of peace will come if you keep continually sowing towards that field, says the Lord. But you must navigate your thoughts. You must direct them towards me and keep your eyes fixed on me, for I keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says this, who is it that wants to be free? Who is it that wants to be free? Who is it that truly wants to be free? He says, the one who truly wants to be free will meditate my word and keep their eyes fixed on me. For I am the author and finisher of their faith. And it's those who continue in my word who will be set free indeed, says the Lord. You know, what he just said there is, you know, we have to take responsibility and it takes action on our part. If we want to be free, there's really nothing that has anything to do with God that just is going to fall on us. And that's what a lot of people want because we're lazy in this generation. Lazy. You know, the Bible says that the man who's lazy is brother to him who destroys. Imagine how God looks down. If he come in a room, he walk away from some of them people. Most people. Most claiming Christian. He walk away. Why? Because they're brother to the one who destroys. Who destroys? He says, a thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's the one who destroys. John 10:10. We don't want to be brother to the devil. We don't want to have anything to do with anybody who has attributes like the devil, which is someone who would destroy. But lazy people are those who destroy. That's been developed in it. Our parents, the generation before them, people become progressively lazy. Now we have technology where we can just push buttons. We don't have to do anything. And because we've got everything, we want everything on overdrive, We do that. We try to do that even when it comes to our with our spirituality, with our religion. We want it to just happen. We want to come and have the pastor preach to us, and then we just leave the service, and it's everything he preaches is going to sovereignly fall us. It's just going to fall on us. But it doesn't work that way. You see, if we want what the pastor is preaching and what God's word says, we need to apply it. Jesus told us, you're supposed to say to the mountain. You see, God's not going to say anything to the mountain. God already got the ball in movement when he gave you the name of Jesus. So we're supposed to say, he told you to have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. We're supposed to believe and therefore speak. You have to confess Jesus as Lord and you need to repent for your sins. God's not going to do any of these things for us. He told you to put off the old man and put on the new man. He told you to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, the like. He told us to put those things to death. We need to put it to death. Amen. Those are all listed in Colossians 3 through 5, or excuse me, Colossians 3, 5 through 10, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, if you're taking notes. So we need to put things to death. In the same way, we can't be late. You know, he says, I don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised, he says. In Hebrews chapter 6. So we don't want to become lazy. We don't want to be lazy. We want to be, you know, he told us to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. So it's a fight which takes effort on our part. And we don't want to be lazy when it comes to managing our thoughts. Let's just think about Jesus for a minute now. How did Jesus manage his thoughts? Well, in Matthew chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, when he was tempted by the devil in the desert for 40 days, Satan presented thoughts to him. He said, if you are the Son of God, he tried to get him to question who he is, just like he tries to get you to question the call of God on your life. Same way. You really think you're called to be a pastor? Is that what you really think? You really think you're called to, you think you're called to lead worship? You think you're called to do that? That's what he says. He doesn't do it in all his thoughts, though. He'll come with an emotion that overtakes your thoughts every time you try to think that's what you're called to do because God put those thoughts in your head. He overtakes you with an emotion and takes you out because you just get discouraged. It comes in the form of discouragement. And every time you try to think that's what I'm called to do, those feelings, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, those feelings supersede the thoughts that God placed in your head because they're not strong enough of a foundation for you to stand on. You got to have faith to receive a word from God, Pastor Anthony said. You got to have faith to believe you received. What if Jesus doubted and said, you know what, devil? I don't know if I'm the Son of God. What if he would have believed him? Well, Jesus wouldn't have done it. You don't think so? He calls it a temptation. Either Jesus partook of a lie or was a bona fide temptation. It was a temptation. He could have been tempted to believe that. He said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He presented thoughts. When he came to Adam and Eve, he presented thoughts to them. Did God really say? God spoke the word to them. They said, God really? Is that what God really meant? I don't think that's what God meant. The devil says to him. The same thing he does. And God says you're healed, but I don't feel healed. So I don't know if that's what God really meant. Then he presented more thoughts to him. He said, if you're the Son of God, took him to the highest point of the temple, 700 feet above the valley below, says, go on and jump off. First he tempted him with body, tell these stones to become bread. Then he tempts him with soul, tries to badger him with all sorts of emotions, trying to get him to commit suicide by jumping down. And the third time he badgered him, he says, look, he took him to a high place, took him to a mountain in the spirit realm, and he says, look, he says, see all these kingdoms of the world and all their splendor? He said, this has been given to me. I can give it to whoever I want to. It was a fact. It was given to him by the first man, Adam. He says, it's been given to me. I can give it to whoever I want to. He wasn't lying. It was a fact. I'll give it to whoever I want. All you got to do is bow down and worship me, Spirit. Started with body, soul, and spirit. Luke, he does it in a different order. First he starts with body, then he does spirit, then he does soul in Luke. But regardless, all three times Satan presented thoughts. In one of the times, when it was to the soul, where your mind and your will, your intellect, your emotions reside, he said this. He said, it is written. He said, cast yourself down. Satan quoted a scripture at him, Psalm 91. He says, look, it's written. It's written. He said, it command his angels concerning you, so he'll lift you up in a stone, so you'll not dash your feet against us. He says, you're not going to dash your feet. He said, come on, jump. He took a scripture and misquoted it to try to kill Jesus. That's what he was attempting to do, get him to commit suicide. Kill him. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. That's his tactics. That's what he's attempting to do. So he uses scripture. He fills your mind with thoughts. What did Jesus do all three times? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written. Worship the Lord God and serve Him only. You see? So our job is to know the Word of God better than Satan does. And Satan knows it very good. He knows it very good. And he knows how to twist it and manipulate it and change it to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. That's what he does with Scripture. That's for those who are attempting to know the Word. That's why God told us to meditate the Word day and night. Psalm 101, Joshua 1:6-9. He tells us to meditate the Word day and night. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, that's in Matthew 4:4. He said in 1 Peter 2:2, he said, like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted the Lord is good. Amen. So when you get born again, it's just a taste, it's just the beginning. He says, now you're supposed to crave the Word, crave the Word. David said, I praise God 7 times a day for the Word. He was in love with the Word of God because God, he knew that God exalted his name, he magnified his word above his own name. So what the same way that we get, you know, I told you the progression, it starts with the thoughts, then it becomes a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, then it becomes it gets caught up in your emotionalism. Imaginations, systems of thoughts empowered by emotions, and then a stronghold, which is a prison in your mind. And the way we reverse the process is to do the opposite of the way Satan built that prison in your mind. How is that? Well, we start to, you know, he was trying to pull the Word out of you, one way or another, through your emotions, through your thoughts. The way we fix that whole situation is we start to meditate the Word of God over and over and over. I'll give you a testimony. It's not mine. There's a man of God, I heard this testimony from a mentor of mine named Augie David, and he's a preacher from India. And he got tormented in his mind, him and his wife both. And it got to the point where Satan had convinced him that this faith stuff, he couldn't get it off the paper. It wasn't working for him. So he started writing letters to everybody, all the preachers, everybody he knew, and said, this doesn't work. Threw his Bible up against the wall and said, where are you, God? He went back to India. He's traveling around here. Went back to India. And finally, he just picked up his Bible. And he bent over his couch. And he started, just out of intuition, an inner witness, he just started reading his Bible for 8 hours a day for a year. He went through the entire Bible every 2 weeks for a year. The entire Bible, not just the New Testament, the entire Bible, every thought that God had directed towards humanity, every thought passed through his thought systems. And you know what happened at the end of that year? He was completely set free from the torment, all the wrong belief systems, all of it. Completely set free. What did he do? He indoctrinated himself with truth because he had been believing a lie. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That's why it's so important to keep God's word passing through your spirit. You can't do it enough. You cannot spend enough time. And a lot of Christians don't think it's that important, and that's why they don't do it. They don't take this seriously enough. They don't take Christianity serious enough to sacrifice their time and discipline themselves to do this. They don't take it seriously. But this is as serious as life or death. In fact, it's eternally serious. Because if you don't get aggressive with your thoughts now, you know, Peter said, if you do these things, you'll never fall. He said, you got to make every effort. And he gave you the whole description. He said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He said, through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises. That's the Holy Spirit and the born-again spirit. New nature. He says, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world that's caused by evil desires. He said, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, self-control godliness and godliness, brotherly kindness, perseverance, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. He said, if you possess these qualities, what he just listed there, in increasing measure, it'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, but if anybody doesn't have him, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's cleansed from his past sins. In other words, if someone's not making every effort, they're not counting it important. That person's nearsighted and blind. They don't even realize what the salvation they got. They don't know what they got. And that's what most claiming Christians, they don't know what they got. They try to add Jesus to their selfish life, and Jesus is saying, take up your cross, die out, and then follow me. The other guys, he said, no. He said, you let the dead bury their own dead. You come, you go preach the gospel. First, let me say goodbye to my family. He said, anybody looks, puts their hand to the plow and looks back, is not even fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's how God views it. You know, one man of God told me, he said, quit breathing up my air, he said. That's what he said. That's good words. I use those words. To who? People who try to waste our time. Because there's millions of people out there who will receive the gospel. And if you're one who will just continually reject truth, God is not going to waste His time. He's going to move on to someone who will listen. Don't believe me? Jesus said, if they won't listen to your words, He said, wipe the dust off your feet and go on to the next town. Amen. Why? Because there's millions of people out there who will receive the gospel right this second if you were to preach it to them. I can't tell you how many times I walk out of my house and I walk up to someone and they receive Jesus as the Lord for the first time because no one ever preached the gospel to them. You mean here in the United States? You better believe it. Don't ever let the devil convince you that people won't listen. Well, I witness to 10 people, they won't listen. Witness to the 11th one, they might. Okay? He said only a few are going to be saved. Don't worry about the majority of these people. I biked up the street before I went to bed last night, and there was a guy, and I walked up to him. I said, I'm Pastor Dan from Faith Street Church. He started cussing and cursing me right there. Demon manifested. He said, I'm a drug addict. Blah, blah, blah. He cursed, said all sorts of curse words to me. I didn't even get a chance to say nothing to him. God showed me what it was later. He's demon possessed. But listen, that's what that man identified with. He identified himself. He said, that's who I am. I'm a drug addict. He had accepted that that's who he was. That's what he wanted for life. That's who he identified with. Well, we as Christians don't identify with that kind of filth. We identify with Christ. We are in Christ. We need to identify with Christ and recognize that He's our identity. That's who we are to the world. We're Jesus to the world. They're watching you. And if they see someone who looks like Jesus, they'll listen to your words. If they see someone who talks like Jesus, they'll listen to your words. You see? I can't tell you how many times I witness to people. I get an open ear from people who are not even wanting to be saved. They'll listen to what I have to say because I've got the wisdom of God and I know what to say in every situation. That didn't happen overnight. That took constant meditation of His Word. I know what to say to them. I know how to silence atheists. I know how to do it. I know how to put them to silence. So they have to at least say, they didn't have nothing. I just silenced one last night. The guy tried to tell me all these things. I said, you listen to a man's words. He started quoting from some poet's book. I said, it's meaningless talk. You know it. I said, creation. I told him God's creation is enough. The Bible says a creation proclaims That's the whole gospel. You just look. It says, you know, the one prophet, he said, look up at the stars. They proclaim that God is. It's enough. And if they won't listen to that, then you just move on. You've got to sit there and fight with them. You move on. Don't ever argue with anybody. We're supposed to do it with gentleness and respect. He said, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You move on to the next one. So somebody refuses to listen to your words, wipe the dust off your feet like Jesus said. Go pick up your shoe and wipe the dust off your feet. And they go, what are you doing? Say, I'm moving on. Moving on. See, why are you doing that for? It's because you're wrong, tell him. God is real. I know him. You're trying to lie to me, telling me that he's not real. I'm not going to listen to that. Goodbye. And you move on to the next one. You don't have to listen to that. Those people, you know that God is real. Those people are, you know, they're foolish. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. They're fools. You see? They need to accept the fact that God is real, but this generation's become so corrupt. Some people don't even believe anymore. Why don't they believe? Well, part of the reason is because a lot of Christians don't act their faith. They're not serious about their faith. So when they look at them, they don't want what they have. Amen. They don't want what they're presenting because they don't want to be like them. You got reality. You got Christian celebrities out there putting reality shows on, living like the world, telling the whole world that this is how Christians live. No, it's not. That's how those carnal Christians live. That's not how I live. Why you got to give the rest of us who live a holy life a bad name because you want money and your greed? Amen. Don't give the rest. There's real Christians out there, holy living Christians, who are humble and they're not all greedy. Amen. Why you got to give the rest of us a bad name? That's shameful. They're going to have to give an account. So we want to take management of our thoughts. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, who is the Word of God. How do we do that, Pastor Nan? You meditate His Word day and night. I don't have time to do it. The day and night meditation happens supernaturally. I can't tell you how many times in the middle of the night I will wake up, and either the confessions that I say throughout the day, I'm already saying them in my sleep and didn't even realize it, or scriptures just point countless scriptures are passing through my spirit. Some of them I didn't even know that I knew, but they're passing through my spirit at night. Why does it happen? Because I'm full. I'm full of His Word. Full. You're going to be full. You're going to be full of meaningless thoughts or thoughts of the enemy, or you're going to be full of God's Word. We want to be full of the Word. He says this. In Colossians chapter 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Just saturated with the word. Speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He said, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. So we're supposed to be full of the word. How do we get full of the word? Well, when we go home from church, we're listening to the teaching, what the pastor taught that day. We listen to it about five more times to make sure that we heard everything. Because it's so important that we hear from heaven because we want to have the victory. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've told people to go start playing the word in your house over and over and over and over and over. I tell them, play the word in your house. They don't do it. Not 24 hours a day. Not 7 days a week, like I said. And I tell you why that is. Because they don't think that God's word is important as they claim that they do. They don't put an importance on the word. Why don't they do that? Because they don't realize what they got. They don't realize what they got. Because God's word will not return void. It will accomplish that which we please to propose and prosper, and the thing for which He sent it. It will go forth. His word will. No word of God has ever failed. Luke 1:37. No word of God has ever failed. Amen. It will not fail. And if you got strife in your home, you know the Bible says such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. You got devils up in your house. If there's fighting in your house, there are devils there. And the way to get rid of the devil is with the Word of God, the same way Jesus did. It is written, it is written, it is written. You just keep the Word playing. The devil's not going to like the anointing on that Word. It's going to start breaking down those yokes of strife, and there'll be peace. You know, I heard one testimony. There was a certain geological location, some city somewhere where there was a lot of crime. And one of the mayors or whoever, he's a one of the leaders of the town was a Christian, and he decided over some kind of a loudspeaker quietly, he's going to play the Word of God. Just barely, you couldn't even barely hear. Just play it quietly, and the crime levels went down over a period of 6 months or something like that. Wow. Why is that? Because it started, the devil doesn't like to hear that. They start walking away. Amen? So we want to manage our thoughts. We want to put the Word of God in our head. You got to put the Word in your head. How do you put the Word in your head? Well, you can pick up a Bible and read it. If you can't read, you can listen to it. Well, I got better things to do, like talk bad about my neighbor and slander and gossip everybody all the time. Get angry at my spouse. I'd rather get angry at my spouse. I'd rather fight with every. I'd rather have unforgiveness than get mad at everything. That's what I'd rather do, Pastor Dan. Now, nobody would ever say that, would they? But that's what they're saying with their actions, because your actions speak louder than their words when they refuse to meditate God's Word day and night. They're really saying, I'd rather be miserable like I am. I'd rather stay the way I am than do what's going to work. Because I'm lazy. Brother, the one who destroys. Don't think so? You're destroying yourself. You must be a relative to the one who destroys. We've got to start meditating His Word day and night. Amen?
Amen.
I understand if you just got born again, this stuff's all new to you, you're just learning. But most of the people in this room, a lot of the people listening online have been seasoned, living for God for years. They've heard a lot of these things before. They're still not doing it. Why is that? Flesh. Lazy. Flesh wants to be lazy. That's not who you really are. You're not lazy. It's your flesh. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Doesn't feel that way. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Amen? It's not about a feeling. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Hallelujah. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All at once. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Repeat after me. Greater is He
that is in me
than he that is in the world.
I have power
and authority over all the power of the enemy.
Nothing shall by any means harm me.
The one who's born of God
keeps me safe.
And the evil one cannot harm me.
Greater is He that is in me
than he that is in the world.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
I have power and authority
over all the power of the enemy.
Nothing shall by any means harm me.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Greater is He
that is in me
than he that is in the world.
I'm free from headaches.
Who is it with the headache?
Father, in the name of Jesus, I command it to leave her. Say, I'm free from headaches.
In Jesus' name.
You? Father, can you do that again? What's the head turn? Come on.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, say, I'm free from headaches.
I'm free from headaches.
Because greater is He. Because greater is He.
Because greater is He.
Than is in me.
Than is in me.
Than he that is in the world. You receive it in Jesus' name. Anybody else had headaches?
Me.
Multiple people.
You?
Father, command the headaches to be gone. Say, I'm free from headaches.
I'm free from headaches.
Jesus is my healer.
Jesus is my
Amen. Friend. Headaches be gone in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm free from headaches.
I'm free from headaches.
Because the Son set me free.
Indeed.
Anybody else with headaches?
No.
Father, in the name of Jesus, command it to be gone right now. Say, I'm free from headaches.
I'm free from headaches.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Indeed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free from confusion.
I'm free from confusion.
I have peace in my mind.
I have peace in my mind.
God is my Father.
God is my Father.
Do you know who my Father is?
Do you know who my Father is?
God is my Father.
God is my Father.
God.
God.
is my Father.
Is my Father.
My Father's God.
My Father's God.
Do you understand? That my God?
My Father.
My Father is God.
My Father is God.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
No weapon formed against me.
Because my life is hidden with Christ and God.
My life is hidden with Christ.
The devil can't find me.
The devil can't find me.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed to be stressed.
I'm too blessed to be stressed.
God is in me.
God is in me.
God is in me.
God is in me.
And I'm free.
And I'm free.
How many people feel good right now?
Amen.
We didn't even do 3 minutes of confession.
Amen.
You don't have to be here to do that. 3 minutes. I just said the same thing over and over 4 or 5 times, basically.
Amen.
Just quote 3 or 4 scriptures. You want those scriptures? I'll give them to you after service.
Amen.
I'll give you them right now. If you're taking notes, Philippians 4:4 is a good one. Rejoice the Lord always. If you're going to say rejoice. We got Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. You know, he says in Psalm 91 that no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said, strong in the Lord and the power of his might in Ephesians 6:10. You know, you could just call yourself free. He says, let the redeemed say so.
Amen.
You need to say it. You feel real good now. You didn't feel good before you come to service. Some of the devils get you fighting on the way here. Getting mad at each other.
Jesus.
Pastor leads worship, makes a mistake. You want to throw stones at him.
You said in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. We want to be free. God told me that he wants his children to be free. He said, my children are not free. I want them to be free.
Amen.
But we need to, he says, let the redeemed say so. We need to speak. He said, and we have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We believe and therefore speak. That's 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe and therefore speak. We want to say what we believe. You're going to say what you believe. You walk out of here and say, oh, so-and-so's not born again. Family member, blah, blah, blah. I just don't know. They're doing this and that and the other. That's what you believe. But if you're like Pastor Dan, somebody will question you about it and say they're saved. You say they don't look very saved. I seen them in the bar last night. Say, who asked you? Bible says, and your children I will save, the Bible says. That's what God says about me. And your children I will save, he said, in the Old Testament. Hallelujah.